What's better than this? Guys being dudes here on the Draft Dudes podcast presented by Locked On. It's Joe Marino from the Draft Network, and I am your host here on this Tuesday Takes on Takes edition of the show. If you were hoping to hear Kyle Krabs on this podcast with me today, you won't, because he's not here. It's just me flying solo. Kyle is in St. Petersburg, Florida for the East-West Shrine Bowl practice today, and so syncing up schedules is going to be a little bit of a challenge this week. Obviously, we failed to do that yesterday on Monday, and today I figured let me just steer this ship solo, get Kyle out of the way, deliver the best podcast I can, and have some fun with your outstanding takes that you always send in. And I look forward to digging into them. My apologies if you were hoping Kyle would comment on one of these that you sent in. He won't. All right, it's a Kyle-free podcast. Let's go. Let's do this thing. The first one today comes from Graham, who says Philadelphia should trade up for Isaiah Simmons. He fills multiple needs with only one nickel cornerback of the starting back seven back under contract or refusing to play in 2020. Like rebuilding offensive line, draft who can play multiple positions, figure out fit later. I'm a fan of every team getting Isaiah Simmons. He's an outstanding player that fits every scheme. He's a matchup neutralizer. He's a true Swiss Army knife. He's an exceptionally physically gifted. He checks so many boxes. He's a rare, rare talent. I am in favor of every single team getting Isaiah Simmons. Now, with that said, where do you have to get to go get him? What do you have to give up to move up if you're Philadelphia? I think they pick 21. You're going to go to 21. You're going to have to get inside the top 10. I mean, you're going to have to give up next year's first round pick and all kinds of stuff. And one thing I respect about Howie Roseman is he's made some comments recently about how he doesn't think that he's going to always bat above average when it comes to the draft, and that he wants as many, swings as he can. And so I don't predict that they would do it. I don't know that they should because of what it's going to take to go get him. I think when you look at the inventory of players you could have with the draft capital you would part with to go get Simmons, you might wish you had all of those players instead of just Simmons. So, yep, I can get behind any team wanting to have Simmons. He's a fit for every team. I just don't know that Philadelphia, with as many needs as they have, like you said, they have tons of needs in the secondary. They have needs at wide receiver. They have holes to fill in the front seven. I don't think you go all in on one player when you have that long list of needs. So, all right, next one here comes from Haywood, who says the 2019-2020 LSU Tigers are the best team in college football history. Listen, they have an outstanding resume of wins. They're the fourth ever team to go 15-0. They beat all four of the AP preseason top four teams. They have 7 wins against top 10 teams, 4 wins against top 5 teams. They scored the most points ever in college football history. The Heisman Trophy winner in Joe Burrow, who just put together the greatest single season of quarterback play in college football history, arguably. They scored, they put up 40 points or more against 5 AP top 10 teams. The resume here is unparalleled in the landscape of college football history. So, yeah, I'm on board. Haywood, I'm on board. They're the best team in college football history, the 2019-2020 LSU Tigers. Next one here comes from Cameron Spencer, who says, Clyde Edwards-Helaire is a well-rounded potential three-down back in the NFL. His pass blocking will be a concern, but his contact balance is elite and makes him worthy of being drafted as a starting NFL running back. I like Clyde Edwards-Helaire a lot. I think you mentioned his contact balance. It is outstanding. He has good vision. He catches the football extremely well. He's 5'8", 209 pounds. And I like these short, stocky backs. I just think they're tough to bring down. First of all, they don't give you a whole lot of surface area to get your hands on. And then they're built so low to the ground, they just have that low center of gravity that they just tend to be really good in terms of contact balance. I think he's got a little bit of juice to him, catches the football. Yeah, to me, he profiles as an NFL starter. And so you're going to want to maybe have some dudes with him in the backfield, and maybe he's not like a true workhorse bell cow back, but man, if he's your lead back that gets 15 touches a game, I think you're going to be pretty happy with him. I love the way he runs the football. So yeah, I'm with you. Worthy of being drafted as a starter. The Sports Nut says, even as good as Chase Young is, the Redskins should trade down with take a haul of picks, future picks from a team that's hungry to move up for Tua, and he identified Miami or the Chargers. Man, I don't know about that. I think that Chase Young is going to be like one of the elite defenders in the NFL, and I just don't know that you can trade away from that. He's a pass rusher with really good ability to stop the run. There's just you're going to try to poke holes in Chase Young's game. You're just going to come up empty. And I don't know how you trade away from that. Yeah, you can get a whole lot from another team because you're willing to trade back. But I mean, I don't know how you leave him on the board. I don't know how you leave him on the board. I just don't. So, you know, I think the Redskins are going to take a little time to get everything going with that franchise. And, you know, we need to see what Dwayne Haskins can develop into. And obviously maybe having more, you know, darts to throw at the board would help. But, yeah, trading away from Chase Young, I can't get behind it. Allen says, this is a tattle take. He turns in somebody by the name of Angelo Hataki, hot take? I don't know. I don't know how to say his name. He said he compared Joe Burrow to Mitch Trubisky. Whew, that's so disrespectful to Joe Burrow. And maybe is the angle here, is the context here that he was saying just one, like a one-year wonder? Because that's also not true. Like, Joe Burrow was a starting quarterback at LSU for 2 years. Now, he was not as good in 2018 as he was in 2019. Nobody's going to argue that, but we're not going to throw away a season of starting experience in saying he's a one-year wonder because he played 2 years. It's not like there's not a somewhat of a substantial resume of work here. So they're nothing alike in terms of skill set, and if the one-year wonder angle is something you're trying to push, you're not right about that either. Bad take. Good one to turn in there, Alan. Doctor says Dave Gettleman will fall in love with Derek Brown and take him number 4 overall, and in turn let Leonard Williams walk, effectively giving away a 3rd and a 4th round pick for nothing. All right, so listen, I'm with you. I can absolutely see Dave Gettleman falling in love with Derek Brown. He's easy to fall in love with. That dude is physical at the point. He's powerful. He's got juice. He clears contact. He's explosive. He plays his ass off. He's got an impressive resume against, you know, SEC competition. Who wouldn't fall in love with Derek Brown? And I almost wouldn't fault any team for drafting him. But, yeah, come on now. Like, there's other players that you can get that are of similar talent that can help your team in areas that you're more weak. And I'm all for collecting the best player on the board and all that type of stuff, but I'm not sure there's going to be a drop-off. You know, if you go Jedrick Wills, I think Jedrick Wills at offensive tackle is as good as Derek Brown is at defensive tackle. So that offensive lineman is going to help your team just as much as Derek Brown would in terms of adding a player that's worth the pick. I think Isaiah Simmons is as good of a linebacker, or whatever you want to call him, hybrid defender, as Derek Brown is defensive tackle, and you get yourself better in another spot. So yeah, the what you take in versus what you let walk, considering the Leonard Williams part of that equation, yeah, I don't think that the New York Giants should be thinking about Derek Brown with that 4th overall pick in the 1st round. Next one here comes from Matt, who says Lamar Jackson doesn't get a second contract because he's unable to replicate this season. Whew, bold. That's very bold. Here's the deal. I'm not on board here, Matt, and I'll tell you why. We have 2 years of football in the NFL for Lamar Jackson and for us to go off of. He got a lot better this year. He's going to be the NFL MVP. So without any substantial resume to go off of that would indicate that he cannot replicate this season, I'm not in. I'm not in on this take. If we're going to point to the playoff game as the sole reason why we don't believe Lamar can replicate this season, I think that's too small of a sample size for us to have that conversation. So Lamar probably has already done enough to get a second contract. But I don't have a big enough sample size of struggle to make me even come close to believing that this is something I can get on board with at this time. Mark says, I know some people aren't big fans of him, cough, Benjamin Solak, cough, but every time I'm watching tape of someone who's playing against Penn State, Yeter Gross Matos jumps out. And here's the take. Yetur Gross-Matos is functionally the same player as AJ Epenesa, but has better tools and versatility. Woo! Oh, man. This is spicy. I wish Kyle was here to get into this with me. I think Epenesa is better against the run. I think he's more polished with his vision. I think he's got heavier hands, and he's more stout at the point. I think Yetur Gross-Matos has a little bit more juice. Both use their length very well. Both have a ton of hand moves and counters and pass rush ability. I don't know. I think AJ Epenesa checks more boxes for me. So similar in a lot of ways. I think AJ Epenesa is a better version of Gross-Matos, except for the fact that Gross-Matos has, I think, a little bit more juice and maybe a little bit more flexibility throughout his frame. So there's some give and take with both guys. I think Epenesa is a better player. Michael says, the Colts would be an instant Super Bowl contender if they can trade up to the Lions spot and draft Tua. They have a great offensive line and great talent on the roster. They would be the best possible landing spot for Tua. I mean, it's hard to argue with that in terms of him being the Colts being the best possible landing spot for Tua. I love the idea of him working with Frank Reich with a good offensive line, build up some of the weaponry around him and go compete. Would they be a Super Bowl contender instantly? That's rich, right? Like, do you think Tua in year one is going to go and be able to knock off the Kansas City Chiefs? I don't know. I don't know if I agree with that. Or the Baltimore Ravens? I think it gives them their best chance to become a Super Bowl contender in the next 3 years. But instant is the part of this that makes me go, eh. I feel like that's tough, especially when you consider what they would need to move up to go get Tua, right? They're going to strip themselves of a lot of assets to help build the infrastructure around even better for Tua. I like the offensive line, and I like some of the pieces they have at running back. But I mean, outside of T.Y. Hilton, who are you excited about in this wide receiver core? Paris Campbell? Paris Campbell would fit well with Tua, but I think he's more of a niche player. There's still more needed in the weaponry, and you're going to trade away a bunch of assets that are going to take away your ability to build that up. Now, the Colts have a lot of cap space, so they could attack free agency and bring in some players, but I don't know that. I don't think, here's the deal. I don't think that the Indianapolis Colts are Tua Tagovailoa away in 2020 from being a Super Bowl contender. I don't. I'm sorry, I don't believe that. Next one here comes from Rise Up, who says, Xavier McKinney is better than Grant Delpit. A hashtag unpopular opinion. Well, it's popular to me. When I put out my most recent big board update a couple weeks ago, maybe the end of December, somewhere in there, I had Xavier McKinney above Grant Delpit. And I would like to check, but I may have had McKinney above Delpit in the one before that as well. So, and I think Delpit's a good player. He's versatile. I like his coverage instincts. I love his range. You know, he's got good ball skills, both attacking the ball in the air and forcing fumbles. I like Grant Delpit. I think Xavier McKinney's just a little bit better version of him. They both kind of have their tackling issues. I thought Xavier McKinney got better at that this year. Xavier McKinney might be a little better in man coverage. I don't think you give up much in terms of range or zone coverage spacing ability. Very similar players. I just feel like Xavier McKinney's the better player. Grant Delpit might get picked higher. He might. I wouldn't be surprised. The player I would pick if I was said, hey, you had to pick one of these two safeties, give me McKinney. Next one here comes from Ryan, who says, no one should have any sympathy for Josh McDaniels getting his comeuppance. Okay, and he put a vocabulary for Joe. And yeah, let's look up comeuppance and see what that means. It means a punishment or fate that someone deserves. Good word. I like that a lot. Thank you for teaching me that. Ryan, no one should have any sympathy for McDaniels for getting his comeuppance. Absolutely not. Nobody should have any sympathy for Josh McDaniels. I can't believe NFL owners are even interviewing this guy for head coaching gigs. You don't accept that job and just literally hours before you're supposed to be in town, decline the offer. We hear it all the time. There's only 32 of these jobs. It's not even a bad one. It was the Colts. With Chris Ballard, the general manager. He had Andrew Luck at the time. What are you doing? What are you doing? Now you're going to go make yourself available for the Cleveland Browns to work for Jimmy Haslam? No owner should call Josh McDaniels for a head coaching interview. I'll take the field. I'll take the field every time over that guy. He was a bad coach in Denver. He went and got Tim Tebow in the first round, tried to build a team around him. What are we doing? This guy sucks when he's not with Tom Brady. And I don't think him and Tom Brady have a great relationship. Yeah, I have no sympathy for Josh McDaniels. I wouldn't want that guy near my organization as the head coach. Hard pass. No sympathy for his comeuppance. Next one comes from Christian, who says, Kalyvon Chaisson will be a better version of Lorenzo Carter. Heck yes. Yeah, I'm big on this take. It's a good take. I think when you factor in Chaisson and you think about Lorenzo Carter coming out of Georgia and what they could do in the NFL and the roles they could fill, you kind of think of the same thing. Hybrid type player. We can have him play in space a little bit, rush the passer. He's fine even if you put his hand in the dirt and ask him to set the edge as a run defender in even fronts. But Chaisson's a better player. Carter lacked polish. Now, Carter is an athletic freak with unbelievable physical tools. And Chaisson's going to be very similar in that regard. But I think Chaisson is a more polished player going to the next level. I think he's more stout at the point. I mean, look at that dude from the waist down, man. He's thick. He's got the power generator below the waist, all right? I like what he's got. I think there's more versatility there. I think he's more polished. And I think he even has more juice. And that's Lorenzo Carter has all the juice in the world, too. So, yeah, a good take. I'm on board with this one, Christian, in a big way. Next one here comes from Bull Bittler, who says, Andy Dalton will replace Mitch Trubisky in Week 8 and lead the Bears to the playoffs, mirroring Ryan Tannehill, Mariota, and the Titans. So first of all here, I love the idea of Dalton going to the Chicago Bears. I think that he should have a real opportunity to win the job a lot sooner than Week 8, to be honest with you. I think it's an open competition going into camp. You look heavily at the preseason to evaluate how these guys perform. And oh, by the way, Matt Nagy, you're going to have to play Mitch Trubisky in the preseason. What's up with that? You think that guy didn't need reps? He didn't play him basically at all in his first 2 years in preseason. So give him reps in preseason. He needs them. Have him compete with Andy Dalton and pick the best man for the job. But I don't know how you can continue to preach to that locker room to follow your lead, to trust in the things that he's preaching, and then continue to roll with Mitch Trubisky if you have the opportunity to insert Andy Dalton into your lineup. I like Andy Dalton. I don't think Andy Dalton's a top 10 quarterback, but I think he's one of the best 32 in the world. He deserves to be a starter, and he'd be much better for that Bears offense than Mitch Trubisky. I'm not slamming the door on Mitch. If he has a great offseason, he takes command of that job and becomes the dude, then great. But Matt Nagy's going to lose the locker room if he brings in a veteran like Dalton and doesn't give him a real chance to be the starter because you're married to Mitch. Be careful. Don't be married to Mitch. Last one today comes from, and this one's bad. It's a tattle take. Jared turned in a guy named Alec. And Alec said that Isaiah Simmons is a slightly better Eric Reed. Whew. Really? Really different player. Okay, Eric Reed's like a true strong safety, like a box safety, physical hitter, like okay range. You're probably never going to want him to play in man coverage. Isaiah Simmons is like the ultimate matchup neutralizer. Size, length, speed, power, instincts, versatility. Slightly better Eric Reed? Come on, brother. Watch a little tape. Watch a little tape, and it will save you from takes like that. I had fun today. Thanks for joining me for this journey, this Kyle-less journey here on this Takes on Takes edition of the Draft Dudes podcast. Don't hesitate to send them in. You can send them in as soon as you come up with something. The hashtag is Takes on Takes. I'm on Twitter at the Joe Marino. Kyle's on there at Grinding the Tape. So hit us up for next week's show as Kyle and I will probably be back together. I'm not sure. Kyle's on the road for the next 2 weeks, right? He's in St. Pete this week for the Shrine. He's in Mobile for the Senior Bowl next week. And so we're going to try to hook up as much as we can and get this podcast out for you. But it's going to be a little bit challenging just mirroring schedules. And obviously, I'm on baby watch. I don't know if you guys know this. I think we've said it on the podcast or maybe you've seen it on social media. But my wife is very pregnant and we're expecting a baby very soon. I guess kind of any time now. So the next couple of weeks here on this podcast could show some different combinations, whether it's just me or just Kyle, or how often we can get to both of us, as we both have some hectic times here ahead. But we'll get you a podcast, I promise you that, and we'll have a lot of fun doing it. So make sure you don't miss anything. Hit that subscribe button, share, rate, and review the podcast. All that stuff really, really helps. And until tomorrow, thanks so much for listening to the Draft Dudes podcast.